Rockdale County High School in Conyers, Georgia, had just completed an incredible season in boys' high school basketball. Earlier in the year, they had lost 5 games, but sometime around the middle of January, they caught fire, and they rolled right into the state high school playoffs and continued to win and made it all the way to the state high school championship game in Georgia. The game itself was incredible, and it was exciting, and it was a come-from-behind victory for Rockdale High School. For the first time in their history, they were state champions. But today, at Rockdale High School, there is no state championship basketball trophy in the trophy case. Because just a few weeks after winning this championship game, it was during spring football practice, and they were trying to discover and do some routine work on some students. They found that one student who was a substitute in the first playoff game had played a total of 45 seconds, was academically ineligible. They self-reported, and the Georgia High School Activities Association took away their championship trophy. Well, as you can imagine, the fans and the parents were angry. They were mad at the state. They were mad at the coach. But the coach offered no apologies. This is what he said. He said, "We had to be honest, show integrity, do the right thing. Because," and here's what I love about this quote, "because people will not always remember the basketball score, but they will always remember what you're made of." Folks, that's what we're all about in Upward Basketball. You know, it's true. We want them to learn the rules of the game. We want them to develop skills. We want them to develop a love and an appreciation for the game of basketball and for cheerleading. But above all else, we want to develop men and women and boys and girls of integrity. One of the key themes, the key values of Upward Basketball and cheerleading is integrity. And the mission even goes beyond that. Charlie showed it. The video showed it very well. The core value of Upward Basketball is that we want to show kids what it means to follow Jesus Christ. And basketball is just a tool, like he said, an avenue to do that very thing. And so as I thought tonight about a passage of Scripture to share with you as a devotion, as we think about this time and prepare for this time, I think it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If you've got a Bible tonight or a smartphone, find 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want you to read this as we look together, because this is really one of my favorite passages in Scripture. It's really what we all need to be about as fellow believers. But Paul was all about people discovering Christ where they are. So I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I want to read verses 19 through 23. And I'll be reading in the Holman Christian Standard, which will be on the screen, but you can follow along in your own translation. This is what Paul says. "Although I am a free man and not anyone's slave, I have made myself a slave to everyone in order to win more people. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win Jews. To those under the law, like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, to win those under the law. To those who are without that law, like one without the law, not being without God's law, but within Christ's law, to win those without the law. To the weak, I became weak in order to win the weak." And here's the capstone of this whole passage in the end of verse 22. "I have become all things to all people, so that I may by every possible means save some. Now I do all this because of the gospel, so I may become a partner in its benefits." Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this word that we have, this word from Paul. God, we see his heart in this passage. We see his willingness to relate and identify with different kinds of people. Lord, we know that those of us that are going to be involved directly and upward, and even the others that are just maybe spectators or prayer warriors, need to be ready. We need to be ready to shine for Jesus. So I pray that tonight we would be able to identify with Paul and what he's saying in this passage. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to us and help us, Lord, as we commit ourselves to this wonderful opportunity to be ambassadors for you. God, I pray that you would just speak through me tonight, through your holy word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I surrendered to the ministry in November of 2002, and at the time, I owned a convenience store in Buckhorn, Missouri. All of you probably know where Buckhorn is. I had a Texaco station there. And I'll never forget that surrendering, that call. I struggled with the call for probably a little over 2 years. But God was patient with me. He gave me time to figure it out and really reaffirm that call on my life. And so in November 2002, I said yes. And I won't go into all the details of that tonight. But I do recall this. I recall after I surrendered, I knew that I needed to sell my business. And I did that. And so as the time came, even after I sold the business, several people would come up to me in my hometown and others that used to be my customers, and they would ask me if I missed it. And really, I'd have to say, no, I didn't miss too much about it. I missed the people. I missed seeing the people. And as I talked to people about that, it began to dawn on me that I really had a ministry in that business. You know, I'm sad to say, I passed opportunities every day. God allowed people to come into my life. God would bring customers into my store. And sometimes I would do a good job of being a witness, but more times than not, I'd be wrapped up in myself. Or I'd be taking care of some matter with personnel or dealing with something, and I wasn't always the witness I should be. Really what dawned on me is I had a golden opportunity right there, and I didn't always take advantage of it. Folks, what I want to convey to you tonight is that we have a golden opportunity to reach people for Jesus Christ. But you know what? If we're not careful, we can miss that opportunity. We can get caught up in developing players, like we're going to develop somebody for the NBA. And we might do that. I don't know. Or even being a feeder program for Mizzou or Missouri State. But that would be the wrong attitude. Just like Charlie said, our main focus, certainly we want to teach basketball, but we also want to share Jesus to a needy world. And I believe that God will do mighty things through Upward Basketball and Cheerleading this year with us, those gathered in this room, if we will allow three things to happen. Three things right out of this text that will help us and must be in play as we begin Upward Basketball. Number one, we will see God move in a mighty way through Upward if we are willing to intentionally and unselfishly serve others. If you and I are willing to intentionally and unselfishly serve other people, we're going to see God move in a mighty way. You know, it's interesting to me that the world looks for winners. But when I read my Bible, I see that God looks for servants. God is looking for people who have a heart to serve others. And I hope that any one of you and every one of you who is involved in Upward will have this heart for service. If you do, you're taken after the greatest servant of all, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to this earth, left the comforts of heaven so he could serve other people. And when we serve, there's two things that we need to do and be. Number one is we need to be intentional. We must serve others intentionally. You know, like I was sharing in my illustration about the business, I had people coming to me, and the truth of the matter is, especially in a community like Lebanon, is a lot of times Christians don't have opportunities very often to interact with non-Christians. At least they don't, or we don't realize it. We need to understand that we have a golden opportunity to be intentional. And so every aspect of our Upward program, we need to be intentional ambassadors, serving others for the glory of God and for the glory of Jesus Christ. That means if you are a person who greets people at the door in the morning, or if you're a person who is giving the devotion for that day, or you're a coach, or yes, even if you're a referee, you need to be a referee for the glory of God. I must be willing to serve others intentionally. I think Henry Blackaby probably said it better than anyone in his Experiencing God material, where he said, God is always at work around us, and he invites us to join him where he wants to involve us. And God, I believe, has some divine appointments for us in this endeavor that we call Upward Basketball and Cheerleading. But secondly, we must be willing to serve others unselfishly. We must be willing to serve others unselfishly. You know, sometimes, there's no other way to put it, ministry is messy. Sometimes people are hard to deal with. Around here, we like to joke and kid around about people that are EGR, extra grace required. And folks, I have no doubt that some of these people, these EGR folks, are going to be involved in Upward basketball and cheerleading. Here's my advice tonight. Love them anyway. Serve them unselfishly. Let's not let this be about us or about our priorities or our interests, but let it be totally about people who need love, people who need to know that they matter, people who need to know that there is a Savior who loves them, who will forgive them, and who will help them to be what they've always wanted to be. Paul was willing to put aside his selfish interests and show interest in people who were not believers. Look with me back in the text again. I love what he says there in verse 19. He says, I'm free. I'm not anyone's slave, but I have chosen to make myself a slave to everyone. Now, why did Paul do this? Well, look at verse 19. In order to win more people. I don't know about you, but I am hungry to see people won to Christ. I'm tired of our country going the wrong way. I regularly pray for revival, not just here in our church, although I pray for that, not just here in our community, although I pray for that, but in our nation. We need revival. It's long overdue in America. And folks, you and I can be conduits for revival if we will just take the mantle of a servant. We need to be servants. We need to be servants intentionally and unselfishly for the glory of God. But there's a second thing we need to do so that God can move in a mighty way through our Upward sports programs. We will see God use Upward in a mighty way if we're willing to identify and connect with lost people. I think that's what Paul is talking about more than anything else in this passage. Paul was willing to identify and connect with lost people. You know, there's a lot of different ways to evangelize. I think there's a lot of methods and there's a lot of things that I've heard about through the years. Some folks like to use tracts. I found this tract the other day. I was at the mall in Springfield a couple of weeks ago. I wish I had a camera I could zoom it in. You could see it on the screen. But this is a chick tract. I had looked for these for years. I kind of collect tracts, and a chick tract was very popular about 40 years ago. It almost looks like a comic book when you open it up. But I found it in the bathroom stall of the men's room in Battlefield Mall. I'm not sure how effective that was. Maybe somebody got saved from it, but I was sure glad I found a chick tract. That's one way to evangelize. Other folks sometimes engage in what I might loosely call conversational evangelism. Heard this story last year. This is from a lady who's a teacher in our church, and this was one of her students. This is classic. You're going to love this. She said this girl was in line at Walmart. And it was a long line, and folks were kind of cranky and impatient. And this man behind her sneezed. And she said, God bless you. And he was real kind of gnarly about it. And he said, well, I'm an atheist. And this girl was kind of a plucky girl. You know, she didn't let pass. She said, well, what's going to happen when you die? And he said, well, I'm going to come back as a tree. And she still continued on. And listen, this is the classic line. Listen to what she said. Well, if you come back as a tree, I hope they chop you down and print the Bible all over you. I guess that's a method of evangelism, although I don't know how effective that encounter was. And then there's some folks that are just overt. I'll never forget going to a Mizzou game back when Mizzou went to bowl games. That wasn't that long ago. But there was a guy with a bullhorn at the Citrus Bowl last year sharing the gospel. I couldn't even hardly understand him as he shared with that bullhorn, passing out tracts as fast as they can. Now, hopefully somebody got saved. I don't mean to minimize. God can use any method. But I'll tell you what. I'll tell you a better way to reach people for Christ is to be relational. Identify and connect with them. Folks, I think like never before, Christians have to build relationships. You see what Paul is doing here in this passage? He's earning the right to share Jesus with other people. And so look what he does here. In verse 20, it says, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win Jews, to those under the law. What he's saying there is that there's going to be times when we need to identify and connect with religious people. Some people who come to be a part of Upward basketball and cheerleading are religious people. Now, as our culture gets more diverse, that could mean that you might come in contact with a Muslim or a Hindu or somebody of any varied religion. But more than likely, that's not going to happen here in Lebanon right now, although it might. more than likely you're going to come into contact with somebody who is a quote-unquote cultural Christian. They're religious in name. They have head knowledge of Jesus, but no heart knowledge of Jesus. Now, you can get an argument with them, or you can pound them with your Bible, or you can build a relationship with them. And we have a wonderful opportunity to do that through Upward. And as we share what's important to them and share together the values that are common through Upward Basketball, we can earn the right to share the gospel with them and see someone who is a religious person, which, by the way, 75% of people still in this country identify as Christian. But I would contend tonight that 75% of the people in this country are not true born-again Christians today. So there's going to be some cultural Christians, religious people, that you might come in contact with. What are you going to do? You know, there's a lot of people that maybe have head knowledge but no saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then I want you to notice verse 21. In verse 21, we see Paul says, to those who are without the law, like one without the law. What he's saying there is there's going to be times where I must identify and connect with somebody who is antagonistic towards the gospel. They're antagonistically lost. And you know what, folks? This demographic is growing larger and larger in this country. You know, when you look at Pew Research or Barna, usually what they call them are the nuns. N-O-N-E-S, not nuns like a Catholic nun. But the nuns, the rise of the nuns. And the latest research shows that 25% of all Americans are in this category. And that's really been rising rapidly. Do you realize that in 1997, 8% of all Americans had no religious affiliation? That's what a nun really is. They don't claim any religious identity. By 2007, that number had doubled to 15%. And like I said, today they believe the number is somewhere around 25%. And oh yeah, there's a demographic in this country that is very influential and large, and we talk about them sometimes here in our services. They're called the millennials. These are people that were born between 1982 and 2000. Some of them will be parents of some of the young children that we're going to be coaching and refereeing and leading in Upward sports and cheerleading. Over 40%, and some say close to 50% of millennials claim to have no religious affiliation. And Paul says, to those who are without the law, like one without the law. Now notice this next phrase, don't miss it. Not being without God's law, but within Christ's law. Paul's not saying that I have a license to act any way I want, or that I'm going to go out and I'm going to do something that's against Christ so that I can win someone. But he is saying, you see what he's saying? That I want to identify. I want to connect. I want to show that person who is non-religious that they are valuable and take a genuine interest in them. Hey, I've got a great question for somebody like that. If you're in a conversation with someone who is antagonistic towards the gospel, you know, humor is a great tool to use. Sometimes when we can just laugh at ourselves or laugh at a situation, it can be a great tool. And here's a great question that you can use if somebody just outright tells you, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in Christianity. You know, I walked away from that a long time ago. Listen to this. I got this from another pastor. Could you tell me about the God you don't believe in? I may not believe him either. Believe in him either. You know, that's a good question. What that does, it puts you on equal ground. It disarms them. Then they're like, well, you know, they have to laugh at it, and it's non-judgmental. Because, you see, that kind of person thinks that Christians are looking down on them with a holier-than-thou attitude. When we just want to share as one beggar with another where to go to find bread. Sometimes we're going to deal and identify and connect with antagonistic people who are antagonistic towards the gospel. But there's a third group that we must identify and connect with that Paul talks about in this passage. Hurting people. And this may be the largest single denominator that you'll deal with as you work in Upward sports. Paul says that we must connect and identify with hurting people. Look at verse 22. To the weak, I became weak in order to win the weak. Now, in Paul's day, what he's talking about is these are people that are morally weak, they're spiritually weak, they're emotionally weak. And in our culture, it's exactly the same thing. They're the same kind of people. People are hurting all around us. People need a listening ear. They need someone to care. They need someone who will be there for them in the midst of their problems. Folks, we may be better connected than ever before, but we are more lonely as a society than ever before. So if you can't do anything else in this league, you can be a friend. You can be a listening ear to someone who needs that friend. And so what Paul is saying is the worst thing you can do is come across to that person as condescending. Like, I've got it all together. Sometimes that's another fallacy. People think Christians feel like they've got everything all together. They put on their fake smiles when they come to church and everything is just fine in my life. Folks, sometimes the best thing we can do is just be vulnerable with somebody. Tell them, hey, I struggle too. I have some similar struggles to you. But always be quick to give credit to the Lord. I have a Savior who helps me through. I have a Savior. But show sympathy and compassion for the hurts of strugglers around you. And the truth of the matter is we all do have our own hang-ups and habits and hurts. I know Kevin talks about that on Thursday nights at Celebrate Recovery. Maybe your fear is anxiety. Maybe it's depression. God will use that in your life. Your tragedy can become your testimony if you'll let Him use it. And so, you know, sometimes a non-Christian would be shocked to know that you have a problem, but it might be the very thing they need to hear to help them to consider entering into a relationship of saving faith with Jesus Christ. Christians need to be vulnerable. We need to be humble enough to let others know that we struggle as well. There's a third thing that needs to happen, a final thing in this passage tonight, and we'll see God use upward in a mighty way if we do this, if we're willing to see the big picture. We've already talked about this, and I'm not going to beat it to death, but what Paul is doing all through this passage is earning the right to be heard. Paul never loses sight of the goal. He never loses sight of the big picture. Look with me again in verse 23, this last verse here. He says, "Now I do all of this because of the gospel." All of what? Identifying, spending time with, serving, ministering to people who are not like him. But he's identifying, connecting with them for the sake of the gospel. Folks, Paul is a soul winner. And I hope that's what each and every one of you are as we begin upward basketball and cheerleading. He's not doing it so others will be pleased with him. He's not doing it so that he can stick out his chest and say, look what I've done. He's doing it for the glory of the gospel. Folks, Paul does it because he realizes three things. The gospel must be shared because it's the greatest news in the world. Again, we want children to grow to love basketball and be good athletes and competitors. But the greatest thing we can ever give them is the good news that Jesus Christ saves. And the gospel must be shared because it is the greatest tool for personal transformation. We've talked about values and integrity, and those are important, but you know how the best way to get someone to change is? Get them saved. Get them under the blood of Jesus. Get them in a new relationship. The Bible says that the old has gone and the new has come for anyone who is in Christ. Thirdly, the gospel must be shared because it is the greatest work that I can ever do. Folks, 50 years, 100 years from now, there's not going to be another one of us left in this room. We're all going to be in heaven and we're all going to leave a legacy of some kind. And the greatest legacy I can ever leave on this earth is that people knew and got to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. So folks, that's what Upward is all about. And that's what we're committing to do. Now, are we going to have some fun? Absolutely. Are we going to develop some talent? I hope so, and I believe we are. And are we going to have an opportunity to get to know some friends and serve together for the kingdom of Christ? Absolutely. But the bottom line is, we want to see souls won to the kingdom. And I want to close my message anyway, with a video that I wanted to show you. I came across this last week. I knew about this team beforehand. But how many of you have heard of the dynasty in the little town of Crane, Missouri, the Crane High School girls basketball team? Some of you heard of them? I mean, they can flat get after it on the basketball court. They have won the last two state championships in Class 2 in the state of Missouri. They had a 25-game winning streak that was snapped recently by a team from Little Rock that started a couple 6'5 girls, a 6'1 girl, and they were Class 7. And oh yeah, they were missing their best player and the best player in the state for Class 2 last year. But you may have seen this on the news. I saw this just recently. This is what I didn't know. I knew Crane was a great basketball team. But something they've been doing for the last year or so that is really cool is before every game, you know how the teams will come together, the captains will come at center court, and they'll shake hands with the referees and each other? Well, the team captains for Crane High School do that, and when they do, they invite the opposing team captains to come to center court and pray with them out loud before the game starts. And that's what that picture is about up there on the screen right there. And so they've been doing that. That's with a school here in Missouri, and they're praying, and they can do that legally. I think that was challenged by some atheist group or some group that's always attacking Christians, and they found that as long as it's student-led, they can't do a thing about it. So you'll notice there's no parents out there, there's no coaches, no refs. It's just students, student-led. And what I found out is that the best player on this team, her name is Emma Lander, is the one who has spearheaded this. And Emma, like I said, didn't play in this game against the Little Rock team because she blew her ACL. And as any of you know much about sports, you know that's a serious injury, and that's a season-ending injury. But I found this clip, and I don't even know where it's on. I found it on YouTube, and I want to close with this clip tonight because this clip inspires me. And this is what we want to be about in Upward. These are the kind of kids that we want to develop through Upward Sports. So you watch this clip of Emma Lander from Crane High School. So, folks, I believe we have a golden opportunity with Upward Basketball and Cheerleading this year. And I'm praying that God will raise up some Emma Landers right out of this group that's going to join us starting tomorrow night.